This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Heavenly Father, there's no one like you. It's actually such a privilege that we can have that relationship with you. There's no one like you. There's no one who loves us more. There's no one who cares more about his creation than you, the Creator. Thank you, Father, that this afternoon that we can come and that we can become quiet and that we can sit and listen to you, what you want to share with us this afternoon. And Father, we most probably have got thoughts of what happened earlier today or this week, what's happened in the politics or on the TV. Father, I cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus and that we can receive from you, because you want to speak to us this afternoon. That's also the reason why we came this afternoon, Father, to receive. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Band. It was awesome. Today is a reminder service, which means I'm going to say things which you most probably heard before, things which you say, yes, I've heard a sermon about it before, those things are not new to me. But actually all the sermons are most of the time a reminder service. It's reminding us again of something, what God has already been sharing with us. You most probably have seen the title, Past, Present, and Future. It's a very wide spectrum. It depends on how old you are. Mine is a little bit longer as what yours is most probably. But that's what God wants to speak to us about. And specifically that today, we are sometimes so close to the present that we forget about the past and we forget about the future. We are, with our nose, so close to the present that we forget about where are we coming from and where are we going to. So we're going to look at the past, the present, and the future in our relationship with God. I'm going to ask you to quickly turn to the person next to you and say which thing in the past pops up to you now. Not from 5 till 7 years or anything like that. Just one, quickly one thing. Share it with the person next to you. I said only one thing, not your whole history. Okay. You can see now a picture. Because all of us have got things which happened to us in the past. Things we save it. I took a few pictures quickly from the computer and I put it on a screen. And each and every picture has got something where we can add a story to. Me, Renee, the family, something what happened over there. And certain things as well, which have got a type of, a lesson in it, that we can say, okay, I can remember that time. It has got a story with it, and I will never forget what happened over there. It will stay with me for the rest of my life. Now, God has given us exactly the same thing as what we've got. We maybe have got our phone, and we've got a lot of photos on it. And it's happening more than once, that if you speak to a person, that a person quickly says, just wait a moment, I'll quickly get the picture and then I'll show you. That's where his whole past is saved over there on that phone. I don't know what's happening if they lose the phone, because then they haven't got any past anymore. But God has given us something which is awesome. And that's the Bible. This is the past. This is the history from what the creation started till what Jesus died at the cross. And it also includes the hope what we can have what we can read about in Revelation. And there are maybe some people here in the church who say, but why are we looking at the past? Wasn't it, yes, I think it was Paul. Paul said, forget about the past and only look to the future. You're totally correct. He said it in Philippians. He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straying toward what is ahead. But what is happening over here, he's looking at the past of what he did in the area where he was staying and what he was doing. Because he was saying, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the people of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Regarding the law, I'm a Pharisee. I've been persecuting the church. And if it's for righteousness based on the law, I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything. But what Paul is doing over there is he's referring to the past when he was accepted by the people around him and where he could actually boast on with the people around him. But that's not important. That past we can forget. So that is totally correct what Paul has been writing over there. But then we've got to read it in the right context over there. But what he says then in 7, which I haven't got here on the screen, but Paul's present situation was more important than all the achievements he had in the past. And these achievements were measured to the world around him. And that's why he says, but whatever were gains for me, I consider now lost for the sake of Christ. This afternoon I'm going to refer a few times to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we take a look at the past, God loved his creation. He loved the world. He gave his only Son. That is the past. Now we're going to have a look at the present. And the present is a thing where we are focused on each and every day. If we open up our computer, if we take a look at our phone, we immediately see what is happening, what is news. Less than an hour ago, this happened over there. Less than 12 hours ago, that person said that in Parliament. Less than, and so on, and so on, and so on. It's immediately about what is happening now, what's happening now. We are so confronted with it the whole day that the present is actually the most important thing for a lot of people. They forget about it, the past, and they forget about the future, as what I said just now. But concerning the present, be content with it. And I think all of us can say and mention a thing that we say, we are not happy with it. Some people are not happy with the weather. Other people are not happy with the politics. Other people are not happy with their salary. Others are not happy with the results, what they got back from university. We all have got something where we are not happy about. But be content. Be content where you are, because you are there as a representative of God's kingdom. And if we find out how God wants to use us in that area where we are at the moment, then things change a little bit. Then we're not going to start complaining. Then we say, Lord, here I am. And what do you want me to, what I should do over here? For whom must I pray? What must I say to that person? What must I do? And this is that we've got to be content and that we will always ask God how he's going to use us. Also that we can pray. That we can ask God for certain things. And if we're asking God for a certain thing and he's giving us, then it's not that was good luck. No, it was God giving to you what you've been asking for. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer, because this is something what I felt that the Lord put on my heart and which also came up on Tuesday with intercession. Prayer is so needed if we want to understand the present situation where we are in at the moment. And prayer is the people's communication or conversation with God. I've been saying it quite a lot. Me and Renee, we are communicating with each other. And if I want to take a shortcut to divorce, then I just have got to keep quiet. Then it doesn't take that long. And it's happening quite a lot. And it's exactly the same what we've got with the Lord. If we start of if we stop communicating with the Lord, then our relationship is going to go down. It's so important that we've got to pray, that we continuously have got to communicate, that we've got to be in a conversation. A conversation which also means sometimes I'm speaking and sometimes I'm listening. Sometimes Renee is speaking and sometimes Renee is listening. We're not speaking at the same time and we're not listening at the same time. It's a communication. And this is how God wants to communicate with us as well. And he says we've got to pray. There are different reasons for prayer, and you will see it on the screen. First thing is that the reason is that we are praying is that God is commanding us to pray. He's telling the writers of the Psalms, tell the people they've got to pray. He's telling the prophets, tell the people of Israel they've got to pray. He's telling the apostles, tell the people to pray. He's telling also the early church leaders, what we can read in Ephesians, we've got to pray. And Jesus Christ also said it, you've got to pray. And he also gave them the Lord's Prayer. So prayer is not something which is actual or which is good or anything like that. God is asking us, commanding us that we should pray. And prayer is a necessary connection what we make with God. Because if we pray with God, then it helps to understand and to know what God's plan is for our lives. It's also that we can receive God's blessing and that we also can see the promises which are being fulfilled. It connects us up to God's power and purpose. And James, he's writing over there and he says, we've got to pray for the sick to be healed. So that is where we are praying to God because we know that God can heal us. We're looking with expectations for healing. And if healing is taking place, then we're thanking the Lord. And we can see that he is keeping his promises over there. The third thing for reason for prayer is that God has made us who are his followers. God has made his followers, also his co-workers, to lead people into a personal relationship with him. When we're following God, then he's making us co-workers. But this sometimes it was a little bit difficult for me to understand. How can I work along with God? God is much greater and bigger. He can just do this and all earth doesn't exist anymore. But God wants to work through people. He wants to work through each and every one of us. And God wants to that we should be co-working with him to lead other people in a personal relationship with him. And God is releasing that power, the Holy Spirit, if we prepare, or if we pray and sincerely pray for the things to happen. And the problem is, if we do not pray, then we're holding back God's plan. And we're holding back things which other people should hear. So prayer is very important. Now, what are the requirements for prayer? There's not a specific that you've got to sit or lay or stand to pray, or that there are certain criteria. It's not there. It's not that there are a particular formula of things to say, but there are several conditions which have got to be met before the prayer can be effective. And the first thing is, if you're going to pray to somebody, then you must acknowledge that he is there and that you also can expect from him what you're asking him to do, because otherwise it doesn't help. You can go into the bakery and you can ask the person over there, if you've got a pair of trousers for me, and he's most probably going to say, you're at the wrong shop, and the other way around. But if we go to God, then we acknowledge that he is there, and we acknowledge that he can do what we are praying for. He has got the ability to do that. And then also, if it is not really happening, then we also can accept it, that God, who is above all, he knows what is the best for that situation at the moment. So if I'm going to pray for a red Mercedes and I don't get it tomorrow, then I accept it. Then God says, no, it's not your time to get a red Mercedes. I'm not doing those type of prayers, but I'm just giving it as an example. The other requirement is that prayers have got to be made in Jesus' name. We pray through Jesus. At the end of our prayer, we say, in Jesus' name. And if we're going to pray in Jesus' name, then we are in harmony with God's, with Jesus' character, his approval and his authority. It's also that if we're going to pray, that we should pray along in God's will, that we're going to pray in harmony with God's perfect will. We can try to pray certain things, but if it's not in God's will, then we're basically following our own will. We're following our own plan. And unfortunately, I hear it often that the people have got a certain thing where they're asking God to happen, that God must bless it. But if you find out it's actually their own plan, it wasn't that they first went to God and asked for a plan. Because if God gives you a plan, then he's going to bless and he is going to provide for it. Another thing is that not only that we should pray according to God's will, but we also have got to live in God's will. And that's necessary that we've got to do. We've got to live in God's will that we can expect him to respond positively on our prayers. James says in his book, in James, prayer of a righteous person is powerful. A righteous person, if he's praying, it is powerful. Now, righteous means that we are in a right relationship with God. But what is meant over here as well, in a righteous way, is that you're also living in a righteous way. And that's necessary, that it must be done the correct way. If we take a look at the effective prayer of Moses, he was the most humble man described in the Bible. He was living the way that God wanted him to live. That's why his prayers were so effective. In the Old Testament, when the high priest on the Day of Atonement was going to pray for the sins, how do they call it over there? They call it for the prayer of forgiveness. He just couldn't do that if he didn't go on his own and first prayed for forgiveness for himself. He first had to cleanse himself before he could pray for other people. So there we can see that it is necessary that we've got to live according to God's will. The last thing of the requirement is prayers have got to be persistent. And another word which we sometimes use is we've got a nagging person, a person who's complaining, who's continuously asking the same thing again and then again and again. But that's not what it means over here. We've got to be persistent with our prayers. We've got to pray patiently, but we also have got to pray persistently. Instead of worrying about the situation, we take to God whenever it comes to our mind, realizing that he's in control and he will do what is the best. Those who are married over here and those who have got children know that the children are sometimes asking an ice cream. And you must probably have made that promise a little bit later today. And then a child comes back to you again a little bit later and says, Dad, Mum, you promised me an ice cream. And then you say, yes, that's correct. And that's basically the same what we're doing with God. God is giving us promises and we can go and we can pray. And when we pray, sometimes it's also called petition, that we can petition God. We can say, but this is your promise. This is what you've promised us. And that he is going to keep his promise then. The one who was also praying persistently was Moses. When the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites, he was holding up his hands. And at the same time, he was praying. And as soon as he was dropping his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And if he was raising his hands, the Israelites were winning. He was continuously praying. You could see persistently, and the result of that continuous praying, you could see the result directly. Elijah as well, on the Mount Carmel, when he prayed over there for rain, he didn't just send one message and said, okay, God, you have done what you asked me to do, and then he went off. No, he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he sent his servant to go and have a look. He saw a small cloud, as large as a hand, and then he prayed, and he prayed, and he waited till it started raining, and then he stopped it praying. The necessity of that, we've got to pray persistently, that we've got to carry on. About praying, Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Everything by prayer. We can bring everything to God. He knows it anyway. We can bring it to Him. And then we can bring it to Him with thanksgiving. Jesus was also speaking to His disciples just after what He spoken to them about the Lord's Prayer. He spoke to the disciples in Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds. And to whom who knocks, it will be opened." Luke 11, verse 9, what I just now said. So that asking is requiring, desiring. We can go to God with everything, like we heard before, if it is according to His will. We can ask for it. If you're seeking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through you, that you can build God's kingdom, ask Him. Go to God. Ask for it. And be open for it, that you can receive it. Seek, and you will find. The beautiful thing of seek, and I think I've mentioned it a few weeks back as well, that it includes the word worship. So it's not just a matter of you're seeking, but you're worshiping God, because you know that He can do it. He can give you whatever you need over there. And then Jesus carries on. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, who will he give him a stone? Or if asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If a child is coming to the father, to you as a father, and asking you for food, are you going to give him then something else? If you then, being evil, and he's talking to the disciples, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" We've got to ask, and God will give what we need, what is needed for us. And God will give us what we need. These things that we see over here are the basic needs, but He has got the ability to give us much, much more. Before you're going to ask God, or before you're going to discuss it with somebody else, first ask God. First speak to God about your request before you speak to other people about your request. If you feel that you want to go to China, I don't think we've got anyone from China here in the church at the moment. You want to go to China because you feel you've got to go to China and you're going to start a church over there. And you mention everyone, this small group, the church, and you tell them, I'm going to China. If you come to me or Renee, we're most probably going to ask you the question, is it your plan or is it God's plan? We first have got to speak to God. And if you feel that that God is saying to you, or for one reason or the other, China pops up the last week each and every time, and you feel, but wait a moment, Lord, there is something what I've got to do over there. Then first speak to God. It's the same as if you want to discuss another person with somebody. First speak to God before you're going to discuss it with a person. And in today's circumstances, I'm going to ask you to do exactly the same. Before you're going to say anything about Putin, before you're going to say anything about Rutte, before you're going to say anything about Boris Johnson or whoever it is, a famous person, first speak to God. First pray for that person before you're going to speak about him. First bring that person to God, that there can be a change in that person's life. The present, going back to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who believes in Him." That's us today. We believe in Him. The past, God loves. The present, who believes in Him. And then we go to the future.
the past, the present, the future. 2 weeks back on a Thursday evening when we were evangelizing in Utrecht over here, we spoke to a person who is going to another Dutch-speaking church in Utrecht, and he said, the church is only talking about the current. They're not talking about the future. They're not talking about what is coming. And I first didn't pay too much attention to it, but as I was preparing for the sermon, it came up again, and I said, yes, we also have got to think about it, the hope. And the songs what Mark and Yolani have been singing just now with the band, it's not that I told them to sing those songs. They listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling them to sing, and I'm listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling me, what I've got to share over here. And then it's so beautiful to see that the word hope is coming, and it's coming. That's the hope that we've got as a Christian. That is the hope which is giving a smile on our face and which is giving us strength to stand up for the next day. The hope that we've got, the future what we've got. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven. Very short. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is where we are citizens from. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lower body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The future, we've got to look at it. As what we've been looking at the past, the future is as important. We've got to look at the whole spectrum. The past, the present, and the future. We're living in the last days of history. And I'm going to mention a few things as what we can find them in the Bible. The last one is the different stages. What we've got is the last days of preparation. And please read them as they are on the screen. I'm going to mention them. And have a look how many of those are actually happening nowadays. That we can say we are living in the last days. Increase of false prophets. If I'm saying something which is not in the Bible, please give me a ring. Please send me a message. Because I only want to quote what the Bible is saying. I only want to say what the Bible is saying. I don't want to deviate from it. And there's only one book which I want to follow, and that is the Bible. Increasing crime in disregard of God's law. With respect, abortion, euthanasia, it's happening. And the people are just thinking of that it has got to be extended and it has got to be elaborated more, that it is more options and more. But that's not God's law. God doesn't want us that we should be master of life and death. That's for him. That's not for us. Increase of wars, famines and earthquakes. Decrease in love and family affection. If there's one thing which is needed in a country, is family. If you've got good families, you've got good communities, you've got a good country. I must maybe send this to some people in The Hague. More severe persecution of God's people. We hear that people are being persecuted because they are prepared to stand up and say, but I believe in God. I believe in him as the Creator, Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit as my helper. Those who stand firm will be saved. The gospel will be preached to the whole world. That's one advantage what we've got with globalization, with the internet. Each and every place can be reached now. We can send a message all over the world. And the Spirit will be poured out on God's people. And we've got to ask for it, that the Spirit can be poured out on God's people, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through us. The other stages as well, I'm not going to elaborate on the stages. I just want to come to the last stage, but I'm just going to mention the last days of preparation, the rapture, the tribulation, the great tribulation, the Antichrist, Christ's glorious appearing from heaven to judge and to wage war, the millennium, the final judgment, the new heaven and the new earth. That's our future. That's where we are going to be a citizen from. We're going to be a citizen in heaven. And that's the hope that we've got. That is the future what we've got. Going back again to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the promise, that is the future, that is the hope what God is giving us. I want to summarize it, and I want to summarize it with a verse out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. It says over there, "And now abide faith, hope, love, but these three, the greatest is love." And we can see the past, the present, and the future in this verse. The past is the love of God, that He loves us. The present is the faith what we've got in Jesus Christ. And the future is the hope that God is giving us for eternal life. The word abide as well, it means you remain, you're continuously involved in it. You stand in it. It's not something which you quickly just now and then touch, like maybe on a Sunday in a sermon or maybe with a small group during the week. But you're continuously busy with that, with the faith, the hope, and the love. And love is the greatest because it's the most durable. The faith and the hope are focused on ourselves, but the love is focused on the people around us. God's love within Christ followers through the presence of the Holy Spirit is always of greater importance than faith, hope, or any other spiritual discipline or character trait. Love is always the most important. God's love, and it's more important than faith and hope if we understand God's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are in the past, the present, and in the future. That you are love. And thank you, Father, that we know that you've got a plan and that you want us to be part of your plan. And that through that prayer, through that communication, that we can understand why we are here and what you want us that we should do at the moment in this present circumstances. And Father, that we're not focused only on the present, but that we understand your love from the past, and that we understand and are joyful about it, the future, the hope which you're giving to us. And else, all eyes are closed at the moment. I'm going to ask, if you're here this afternoon, or maybe you're watching via Facebook Live, and you say, but that one scripture about God loved the world, I've never started with it. I've never accepted God's love for me, God's love for the world. I'm just focused on myself. But today I feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart, that I've got to make that decision and start a relationship with God, that I've got to accept it, that God loves the world, that He gave His Son, that Jesus died for my sin, that I can repent for my sins, and that I can accept the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel that God is stirring your heart, that you've got to make that decision this afternoon over here, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that you're also a God who wants to provide for whatever we need. And I'm going to mention a few different situations where you can be in. And as I'm going through it, I'm asking that you're going to raise your hand and that we can pray about your situation. First, I feel that there are people who are at a work situation where they are unhappy, where they feel they are not at the right place. And if that's you, I'm asking you now just to raise your hand, that's all, as all the other eyes are closed. Father, you see those hands. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the person is going to be content of where they are, and that you're going to show the people what you want them to do in that specific situation, that you want to use them for your kingdom over there, that they do not walk into the workplace and start complaining about this and that, but that they walk into that place where they're working and say, Lord, here I am. How do you want me to be used for your kingdom, Father? That the perspective is going to be turned around. That the person is going to be content to be used for building your kingdom at that specific place. And if it's time, Father, and you want to give that person another position, then let it be. Because you are, and you've got a plan for each and every one. But that there's going to be, the person is going to be content in the situation where they are. Father, I also feel that there are people over here who feel that they are not staying at the right place. That they say, but I'm not at the right place. I do not feel happy where I am at the moment. I want to move to another place. I want to move to where other people are, that other congregation and of congregation, other community. I'm not happy where I am because I'm not having contact with the people, or I'm not having the right contact with the people. And if that's you, then I'm asking you if you can raise your hand for that. Father, I pray, Lord, you see those hands, that you're going to change the situation. But first, Father, I pray that they are content where they are at the moment. That they, if they wake up in the morning, that they're not going to start and complain about this and about that, but that they say, Lord, what do you want us that we should do over here? And that they are open, and that you're going to show them how they can be used for your kingdom. And Father, with time, if it is your will, that you're going to give them another place where they can stay. Now I'm getting a very awkward one. If you at the moment in a present situation, did you want to ask God for a child or another child? Sorry, but it's an awkward thing which is coming up. Then I'm asking that you're going to raise your hand. Father, you know what is in the person's heart. We heard just now that we can come to you with everything, and that you will provide and that you will give. Father, I pray that if it is in their heart that they're waiting for a child or waiting for another child, that you will bless it in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can, with everything, that we can come to you. And that we shouldn't just ask and then wait, but that we persistently can come back, that we can repeat ourselves, but that we also know that you're going to do what is the best for us. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who knows our past, who knows our present, and who knows our future, and that we can walk along with you. Thank you for that privilege. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're still going to sing one or two songs. We're going to have prayer facility over there as well. I'm going to ask Renee and Urbanus to man the stations over there. If you need any prayer, if it is for healing, if you want to stand proxy for somebody else, which means that you've got a family member who's sick at the moment and you want that we should pray for that person, please come that we can pray. If there's any other prayer need, please do not leave, but make that opportunity that you can pray along with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.